What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And on The Stack, we talk about a bunch of comic books that come out this very Wednesday. If you've woken up, it's 9 a.m. in the morning.
Stay woke.
It's drive time. You're headed off to the comic book shop. Listen to our podcast on the way, and we're going to ruin a bunch of books for you.
So it's not ruin. It's just lightly touch upon the themes and characters.
We're going to straight up ruin this.
No, we're not ruining anything. It's not what this is about. There's no spoilers. It's not spoiler-heavy.
We released that poster in that ad campaign that said, we're going to ruin you. That was our tagline.
Oh, but that's for our hip-hop album that we're releasing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The Ruiners.
Yeah. Nice. Very edgy.
Spoiler, by the way. That's our tagline.
Yeah.
We're going to ruin you. Let's get into some books. We have six comic books to come out and talk about today. We're going to talk about two Marvel books, two DC books, two Image books. I want to kick it off with one of the biggest books of the week. It's coming in at number one on our countdown.
Nice. Not number six? You count down on the countdown?
I don't know how to count. Don't understand math. But Infinity Countdown, number one from Marvel Comics. This is the big event that was kicked off by a previous big event that is kicking off the next big event. So it's like the middle event.
Which is the best kind. You know, it's like, what do you like about the Oreo? The middle is what Pete was going to say. But hey, what do you like? The outside?
The cookie part.
I wish you all could have seen Pete frozen like a deer in headlights as he tried to remember what's in an Oreo.
No, I was just like, where are you going with this?
What parts of the Oreo could I possibly be talking about? There's the top, the middle, and the bottom.
I'm trying to think.
And the top and the bottom are the same.
What?
The top and the bottom are the same. What are you?
Different.
You like
that? It's like the left and right Twix. Completely different.
Wow. Pete, sensitive taste buds should really be reviewing French food. But to my point earlier, this is an infinity count up, and I won't take it any other way. If it was a countdown, it would go backwards.
That's probably true. What was the DC title? Was it? It wasn't 52, right? It was Countdown.
It was called Countdown.
Countdown that went backwards.
Because that's what a countdown is.
I know. It was real confusing though to buy. I didn't know what I was doing.
They should just call it a count up.
So I'm going to give you a quick rundown on Countdown in terms of what's leading up.
It's a run up to Countdown.
Yeah. So the Infinity Gems are back. They're called Infinity Stones. They're scattered throughout the Marvel Universe. A bunch of stuff has been going on in a bunch of different titles, including Guardians of the Galaxy. Wolverine came back to life and has been
Space
wandering
Jam.
Around. Yes, Space Jam. And a bunch of other stuff's been going on. I think the thing that's weird to me about this book, and I'm going to do the negative first. The thing that's weird to me is it doesn't feel like the kickoff to a big event. It feels like a bunch of stuff is happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. It just feels like a comic book that is just kind of dealing with the certain characters and where they are. Which, like, I guess is good in a way where it doesn't feel... It's starting small and then building to something, which I'm hoping.
I will say... And then here's the positive part. I really enjoyed this at the same time. I thought the art was awesome.
Yep.
As somebody who has been reading Guardians of the Galaxy, and I know all three of us have, I thought of, well, three of us?
Yeah, you're reading it?
Okay, I don't know. You made jerk-off motions to me.
Justin was making jerk-off noises.
No, I don't... Jerk-off noises? I wasn't making the microphone.
Gestures.
Gestures.
Yeah. Gestures. We normally roll our eyes when you're talking. That's just a normal
thing. There's a huge difference between noises and gestures. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Exactly. I agree. The art was great in this. To Pete's point, it sort of feels like a zero issue.
Yep.
Where rather than a number one, but I guess maybe they're going to count from one to zero because that would make it a countdown.
It just felt like a big issue of Guardians of the Galaxy continuing the storyline in there with a couple of extra things thrown in. You know,
100% agree. I loved the Drax stuff. With the Power Stone, very fun. A lot of the Groot stuff felt a little like I actually haven't been reading Guardians of the Galaxy, so I don't know. I don't know too much about this, which is why I was making the gesture. So I don't know about all this, but it took up so much of the issue. So I was like, oh, okay, fine. But I expected more sort of broad sweeping strokes looking at the rest of the
Infinity
Universe.
But if anything, the impression that I'm getting now is this is really the rev up to the actual event that is coming rather than the event itself, which is weird.
Also, in the last issue, we got like a little kind of like status quo of how everybody is doing.
Right. That was not the last issue. That was Infinity Countdown Prime, which was an issue before the Infinity Countdown event kicked off.
Fuck you. Before this, I liked the setup a little bit better where we got a little bit. This one, it stayed on the Guardians, which I like. But the whole time I'm wondering what the fuck's Wolverine doing. Also, the Groot stuff very powerful, pretty awesome. The writing on this, they're doing such a great job of like really getting the voice of Guardians of the Galaxy.
This is very much jumping all over the place, but I just want to throw out something about the Wolverine thing, and this is only a total guess at this point. So if you've been reading Marvel Comics, you've seen Wolverine came back to life. They've been doing him these post-credit sequences where he shows up around the Marvel Universe. He has the Space Stone. I really cannot for the life of me remember which ones. And then, spoiler at the end of the issue, he leaves his stone for Black Widow. So now Black Widow has the stone, and we're going to get a three-part miniseries event called The Hunt for Wolverine that's coming up. So clearly, like, he came back, had the stone, did all these things wandering around in the back of comic books, but it doesn't actually connect to the Infinity Countdown stuff at all. Yet. Otherwise, he was carrying a stone. That's it. That's crazy to me.
It might not ever cross over. We don't know. Maybe Wolverine just popped up for a little bit, and now he's going to go back to dead.
Like his proverbial claws.
Fuck you. You don't know what he's doing, so don't put any of that shit on him like that. Also, if you're going to trust somebody
and drew this
with,
comic book,
if you're going to trust somebody with the gem/stone, you're going to trust Wolverine, all right?
Gemma Stone. I think you don't trust Wolverine with a stone. He's not used to having a rock in his hand.
Yeah, he's not a rock tumbler. He doesn't have rock tumblers that come out of his fingers.
That would be awesome, because I love a smoothed-out rock that is using sand and water over time to tumble it out.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
I had one of those when I was a kid. Man, did I become a dork when I bought that. I do think it's interesting that he stashed it in the back of a space stone in the back of a toilet, and it connected back to that old X-Men book, which is when the flashback to, Chris Claremont did it, of Wolverine, Black Widow, and Captain America, one of my favorite comics of all time.
Yeah, this is, I feel like we're spending a lot of time ragging on it. It's a good comic book.
Ragging on it at all. I very much enjoyed it.
You, Pete in particular, was spending a lot of time ragging on it, and I apologize for that, because it's good, the art is good, it's fun. If you've been reading the Marvel Universe consistently, it's not an entry point by any means. But particularly if you're looking for a fun Guardians of the Galaxy book, this is the place to be. Let's kick it over to a DC comic book. What? Batman number 42.
Why don't we do the two Marvel, since we're talking about Marvel right
now? No, Batman number 42 from DC Comics. That's literally not what we do any week ever.
You're too comfortable on this podcast. You're just shouting with things that you want.
Yep. Like Batman number 42. So Poison Ivy has taken over the world, except for Batman and Catwoman, who are enfianced, if you will.
Very well and pronounced. They, the classic French.
Yes. And they, as we found out the last issue, they don't know what to do next. This issue is dealing with that. How'd you feel about it? What'd you think?
Well, I really like this idea. I like the story arc of, I think this is a great Poison Ivy story arc, and I feel like it's a cool thing of, like, she has these manipulation powers. Why not have her have a whole bunch of people that she can control to see what kind of damage she can do? And I feel like this is, I'm on board with this event, and I think it's exciting. But what sucked is before this event, we had these really touching moments between Batman and Superman, and then they never paid off. They just completely went away, and I was...
What? They were great. They paid off in the individual story.
In that story, and then they paid off again in this issue.
Yeah, there's a great moment in this issue where Superman is hovering over Batman and Catwoman in the Batmobile, and just watching them on Ivy's under Ivy's control. And Batman takes advantage of something he knows about Clark and Superman to get a second alone, which I thought was amazing. Tom King is the king of detail.
Oh, snap. Speaking of detail, this issue is gorgeous. The shots in particular of Superman.
Put your boner away, dude.
Incredibly tight. What?
Put your boner away.
What is up with you today with the jerk off motions of the boners and everything?
You're talking about how gorgeous it is. Just, I get it, but you don't have to then show off your boner, all right? Put it away.
I don't.
He's a little sexually frustrated.
Yeah, all right. Okay, we'll sock you off later or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, my God. What is with you?
I'm just trying to explain how this podcast works, okay?
Jeez. You're really bringing knife to a boner fight over here.
Yeah. Tune in to our other podcast, Boner Fight, that is coming up right now.
That's basically
after this.
What this is right now.
Yes. I like how Superman is very small in some of the pictures. Is that that's all I was trying to say, basically? So
what a long walk around the boner barn to get to that observation.
That is not my fault. So this book is gorgeous. It's incredibly structured. Batman dies in the middle of it, which is an insane thing to do in the middle of a comic book. Spoiler it ends again. We're just going to ruin everything. We established that at the beginning.
I just like to use the word explore. And great last page reveal of who he's talking to, which I'm not going to ruin.
Cool. Nice. Let's move on to our first Image comic. Is that okay with you, Pete?
Nope.
Great. Oblivion Song, number one. This is by Robert Kirkman. So highly anticipated book for the creator of Walking Dead and Invincible and many other things, including Science Dog. Now, the idea of this book, it's a little hard to explain, I guess. A portion of the world's population disappeared into this hell dimension years prior, and there's one guy who's trying to go back and rescue them and figure out what happened. That's essentially the setup, right?
Yeah, I think that's good. A lot of the issue is devoted to him trying to get more government funding to expand the program of him going back to rescue these people who were lost 10 years ago, and there used to be a much more of a focus on that. Everyone keeps shitting on him because he keeps going back to this hell world because his brother's missing. And we don't know what the deal is. He says these people are still alive and that the country should be doing something about it. This issue was super fun. Kirkman's great at having a strong premise, building a world and some great characters around it, and then letting it go. And I think this is, it reminded me of Outcast, sort of a more sci-fi version of Outcast.
I can see that. I think it had classic Robert Kirkman resource management going on. That's something that he loves to do in all of his comic books. It also reminded me a little bit, it seemed slightly reminiscent, though not exactly plot-wise, of a Rick Remender book, in a way. Oh, yeah, it felt very Fear Agent to me, and very Black Science as well. It felt a little bit like those.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I think it was a solid first issue getting on board. I also really like how it started with the action in the hell world. But for me, I hated all the kind of like talking in between, and then getting back to the hell world was, to me, where the fun was.
What can't this Robert Kirkman do?
Oh, boy. He's doing so well for himself, and we wish him luck in the future. Let's move on to our next...
Focus on comic book, man. I think that's where everyone wants you to be.
Yeah. Isn't that Kevin Smith?
It is, but I think he produced.
No, there was the comic book, not the comic book History of Comics. He did the History of Comics show on AMC.
Oh, that's true.
That's what you're thinking of.
No, Comic Book Man still sucks.
Oh, okay. Great. Let's move on. Clearly, Pete is very excited about this because he wanted to talk about this earlier. It's our other Marvel comic book, Ant-Man and the Wasp Prelude. Number one from Marvel Comics. Now, Marvel publishes these books.
All right. Fuck you, man. What the fuck is this about? You have a movie, and then you're going to make a goddamn comic that's exactly the movie, and then I'm going to buy the comic and get pissed because I was like, oh, what the fuck? This is just a ripoff. It's like, hey, Marvel intern, go watch Ant-Man and then make a comic out of it. What the fuck was that?
Hey, you just got pranked. Yeah, we got him. We made him buy this comic, and it was just the movie.
You should have seen that. Yeah. You son of a bitch. I'm going to suck you off so hard tonight.
Yeah, that's the second part of the prank. That's the prank that's on Alex because he's not usually interested in that.
So Marvel, as I was saying, has been publishing these books for a while where they create a bridge between the Marvel movies. They tell some untold stories about the Marvel movies.
Oh, by bridge, do you mean just a fucking ripoff of the movie? Is that what a bridge is?
A lot of bridges are just there.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say about it. I disagree with you.
What's the point of that
fucking
book?
Shitty Marvel intern or anything like that. It's... clearly, the writing is fine. They do a good job of telling the story of the movie very quickly. It's going to happen over the course of two issues or so, I guess. So that's good. There probably will be some bonus material at the end that does bridge the gap there.
Yeah.
I guess that's my question for you guys. That's why I wanted to talk about it is, what do you think the audience for these books is? What do you think the point is?
I don't know, but there should be some fucking thing where you open up and go see the movie. Don't buy this book. Or based on exactly what happened in the movies. That way you're not wasting money by buying the book.
I would feel very ripped off when I opened the book and it just said, go see a movie.
Well, I mean, what the fuck, man? It's the exact movie in comic book form.
To answer Alex's question and Pete's rant, I think this is built for people who are super fans of Ant-Man, are very excited for the sequel, and don't mind a little recap because they love it, and they're gonna it will bridge the two movies, so they're getting the added content there. Ant-Man was my maybe least favorite Marvel movie, so reading this, I was like, oh, yeah. I remember sort of not liking this a little bit, but it is based on the Edgar Wright script, which I think is another selling point where they're like, look, it's this director many of you are fans of. Check this out.
Yeah, I will say on the opposite end of the spectrum that as somebody who has only seen Ant-Man once, it was actually a nice refresher and reminder without necessarily watching the movie. So not that I won't go back and watch the movie, but being able to recap half the movie in 5 minutes is pretty pleasant.
It's I don't understand what this is or who it's for, man.
It's for you.
It's no, really it's for you. It said, yeah, there's a dedication to you.
Yeah. Reading it says to Pete LePage at the beginning.
It's like, hey, we're just going to keep taking your money and feed you the same shit.
No, I think that's kind of mean. There's a lot of people that put a lot of work into that. A lot of people put a lot of work also into Superman number 42, which was a neck pick from DC Comics. This is focusing on Superboy and Bizarro, one of my least favorite characters in the history of comics.
You hate dumb people, that's why.
No.
Bizarro's not dumb.
No, the backwards talk drives me nuts because it's inconsistent and I don't like it.
Oh, okay.
So,
how do you feel about the demon?
The demon?
Yeah.
Demon also bothers me a little bit with the rhyming, not as much as Bizarro and Zatanna.
How do you feel about Shakespeare?
Santana is fantastic.
Carlos Santana?
Yes, Carlos, so smooth, etc.
Yeah, that really bothered me. I hated the recap of So Smooth in comic book form. I felt like,
did you read the
I'll
so
just
smooth?
Listen to the song. Yeah, it was a great, I mean, I applaud them doing
by
it.
By Rob
but
Thomas.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't believe they got him for the comic.
That's nuts. And he did the art, too.
Yeah, wow. What a genius. That's something we say a lot. Rob
so
Thomas,
in
Superman.
Superman 42, we're exploring Bizarro world. Once again, we get a bunch of stuff with Bizarro. Turns out, just like in the main DC universe, Bizarro now has a son. Superboy explores what's going on in the Bizarro world, and this isn't too much of a spoiler since you know this is coming. Bizarro Boy, or whatever he's called.
Boyzarro.
Boyzarro comes back to the DC universe.
Oh, shit. Oh, look
how'd you guys
out.
Feel about this book?
I mean, It's a lot of the same thing, which is a little annoying. It's like, we get it, Bizarro, we know who Bizarro is, so it spent a lot of time, like, Bizarro pondering life, which I thought got old pretty fast. And then the fun of, like, I like the ending because it's a good ramp up of, like, oh, shit, what are we going to do now that Bizarro Boy is in the real world?
Did you notice, Pete, that Bizarro says the opposite of what he actually means?
Yes.
How do you feel about Bizarro, Justin?
I like it. I liked that he was like a nice soliloquy about his sort of depressing life in Bizarro speak. I thought was really nice. And I think what they were going for here is showing that even though he sounds dumb, to your point, he actually has like a gentle heart and is just trying to live his life, doesn't get along with Lois Bizarro Lane, and has a horrible situation. Boyzarro is looking to escape. And I think we're going to have a nice couple issues where Superboy and Boyzarro really do connect, which I'm looking forward to.
If there is anybody who can get me to like Bizarro, it's Pete Tomasi and Patrick Gleason, because the art is beautiful. Like you said, the writing is very good. It drives me up the wall. It gives me a headache, but I'm willing to power through just for them.
I'll happily translate Bizarro speak to you.
Oh, thank you. Me, I'm not appreciative. That.
You get it, man.
I do. Great. Let's move on with our last pick. Gideon Falls, number one from Image Comics. This new book from Jeff Lemire. It is, well, to say anything about it is kind of pretty spoilery, but suffice to say, we follow two characters, one who may have some mental issues and is picking up garbage around a town, the other one who is a priest who is new to town, and the town, as you expect, might be a little bit weird, some weird going on. I thought the book was great. I thought, as usual with a Jeff Lemire book, I know he didn't do the art, but the design is gorgeous and very, very striking. There's a lot of images that are upside down and right side up or juxtaposed next to each other that I thought was very cool to see. And the story, I want to see where it goes.
Yeah, I don't know too much about what it is yet, but yeah, I do like the guy gathering garbage that seems to that will amount to something. Feels really fun. Seems like it's going to be about religion in general. It also feels like Outcast in a way.
The one thing I would say before Pete shits on whatever he's going to shit on is that there's a pretty extensive note in the back from Jeff Lemire about how he developed the book. And it's pretty fascinating just in terms of his process, because it's gone on for years and years and years. He came up with different bits and suddenly it came together. Pete, go ahead.
Fuck this fucking creepy fucking book, man. This thing is scary as shit. I was yelling at the comic. Also, you don't take a job where somebody dies without asking any questions. It was driving me fucking nuts that nobody was asking about what happened to the other priest. And then all the creepy shit happened, and it scared the fucking shit out of me, and I hate it. I'm not going
to
read this book
again. It's kind of surprising to hear you say that. You know how you got this job on this podcast, right?
Yeah, you replaced the original Pete. You're Repeat LePage. And it's...
Yeah, he died horribly on the air while we were reviewing comic books.
Yeah, he was just so happy reading this
comic. Probably just bored to death listening you two gab on.
Oh, what is it with
you? You know what?
You know what? No, I'm not going to suck you off today.
I can't believe that promise isn't going to be kept.
If you would like to come see us live, we have a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the Pit Loft in New York. Come on down. We'll talk to you about comic books. Also, if you want to support the show and other shows that we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Pete, what do you
want to plug? Us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for all of our podcasts, and we'll see you next week.
So smooth. Comic Book Club.